Billy Brim and
your daughter, Shelly K. Baggett.
And we're coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, right here close to Branson, Missouri. Now, as we're making this recording, we have just gotten back from a very special meeting in Fort Worth, the Kenneth Copeland Ministries Annual Ministers Conference. Mm-hmm. And I want to use this scripture from Revelation chapter 4. Actually, I've got it turned over to 4, but it's not. It's Revelation chapter 2. And Jesus, you know, appeared on the Isle of Patmos. And he spoke several things, of course, to John the Apostle. But he did have some messages for seven churches. They are seven churches that existed at the time. Mm-hmm. And not going into detail on what he said to those churches, the first one was Ephesus, but how he ended each of the messages. Verse 7, Revelation 2, 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Then speaking to Smyrna, verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now, he addressed it singularly to Ephesus and to Smyrna, unto the church at Ephesus, right? But when he gets down to the end, he says, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Mm-hmm. And then we go to Pergamos, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And that goes on through seven churches. So I ask at Wednesday prayer, what does that verse tell us? Shelley, what does that verse tell? What do those verses tell us?
He that has an ear to hear, let him hear.
So what does that mean?
That you hear with your heart and it's time to listen. The Spirit is saying something.
That's it. That's it. It's time to listen. But I think that the big, big thing is the Spirit speaks. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit speaks to the churches. Mm-hmm. If you want to tune in, I mean, let's take radio for instance. Mm-hmm. There's radio sound waves going through the air at all times. But for you to hear them, you have to tune in. Mm-hmm. And I remember your dad. He had selective hearing. Mm-hmm. And I would start off telling some story, you know, and Kent invariably.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the story, he'd say, what? What? Mm-hmm. When he was perked, you know, to mm-hmm. sure. had some interest. Then I'd have to go back and tell the whole story all over again.
Right.
So the one point here is listen.
Yes.
But I think another big, big point is the Spirit is saying something. Mm-hmm. And he's speaking to the churches.
Yes.
Right now, there is in the earth a church, the church. Jesus is the head. We are the body. And he's speaking to us. The Spirit is speaking to us individually, and he's speaking to us corporately. Now, Jesus, when he was ready to go to the cross, he gathered his disciples around him and told them about the Holy Spirit and what he would do. And Jesus said in John, it's recorded 16:12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Mm-hmm. They weren't ready to hear.
Right.
They weren't even yet born again. He hadn't been to the cross. Mm-mm. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. That means from himself. He's not the source of what he says. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, is not the source of what he says. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He hears. He's a listener. Mm-hmm. He listens to God and the Lord Jesus. And what he hears them say about the church, concerning the church, concerning us individually, concerning us as a body, he speaks.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful ministry.
Whatever he hears, he speaks. Mm-hmm. And in some of that speaking, he will show you things to come.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful?
It's wonderful. He shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Hmm. So the Spirit speaks. That's the point. Mm-hmm. To the churches now also is the point. And every church that names the name of Jesus individually, he's speaking to.
Yes, he is.
And all the churches. Mm-hmm. So we just went to a ministers' conference. Ministers all gather up there from mm-hmm. all over the world, really. Mm-hmm. We had at our prayer meeting today some from Connecticut who had been to that meeting. But what did you think of the meeting? Tell me, you were there with your husband.
Mm-hmm. It was in Fort Worth, Texas. And it was his first ministers' conference. Of course, I'd been several times. But what I thought was each speaker had... they were saying, the Holy Ghost through them was saying the same thing, that even though, I like even what Jerry Savelle said, we ministers can be some of the most hard-headed people
mm-hmm.
when it comes to not being pliable to what the Holy Spirit is saying.
Yes.
Like, for instance, we may have 3 points to our sermon, and the still small voice as a minister may say, well, here's point number two, but I want to heal brother so-and-so in the front row right now, or mm-hmm. I want to demonstrate something right now.
Mm-hmm.
But as a minister, I remember Brother Jerry said, we've learned how to play church and mm-hmm. have church without the Holy Ghost, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time in 2010 to let God's glory in.
Yes.
And so, and then even... Pastor Keith Moore, he talked about how you can have teaching on an individual level on how to receive by faith, but he said we come up short as ministers on administrating when other people's wills are involved, how to distribute. And this thing, he just so beautifully, as he as God has given him the ability to do it, laid line upon line, precept upon precept, going through what Jesus said, how this kind comes out by prayer and fasting.
We're going to talk about that.
And so,
but would you say, Shelley, that at the meeting, what God said to the churches
mm-hmm.
is that he's ready to demonstrate his power.
Oh, yeah.
He's ready to demonstrate himself to the world
mm-hmm.
and wake them up.
Right.
And it's time for us to demonstrate the power of God
mm-hmm.
and then how to do it. Now, Jerry Savelle, you mentioned him. Back in November, the Lord told him what to preach. 2010 is the year for the glory, to let the glory mm-hmm. in. And it was my blessing to start off the ministers' conference on the first morning. And the Lord led me to share what we've been walking through and sharing with our radio audience for a long, long time now. And it has to do with walking through a time of revelation, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
I shared with you, and I shared at that minister's conference, how that the Lord had sent me to Brother Oral Roberts in July of 2007 and to give the word to him that some men can choose the dates of their departure, but two men could not, Brother Oral Roberts and Brother Billy Graham, for the dates of their departure were chosen by God and were sovereignly chosen, and that at their departures there would be a major shift in the heavenlies. Brother Roberts corroborated this and said, at my departure, at my death, there will be something supernatural. Something, what did he, what was the
a
word?
A shift?
No, I was the one that
shaking.
Received the word there would be a shift. But he said something, here, I've got it down here. Something
extraordinary.
There's my grandson over there.
Thanks, Brandon.
Something extraordinary yes. will happen.
Right.
And so there's been a shift, Shelley.
Oh, definitely.
There's been something, and you could tell it at the ministers' conference
mm-hmm.
that the Lord wanted us to learn about his power,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted us to demonstrate it to the world. It was time for the manifestation of the power, time for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I shared there at that ministers' conference that when Brother Roberts did go home, I was praying, what is the shift? What is the something extraordinary? And I was quite surprised to hear the Lord speak these words, and I heard these exact words. Oral Roberts knew to tap the power. Others simply lap the power. They run laps around it as if it were a burning bush. And then I had thoughts that went through my head. They know the power's there. They preach about the power.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow they don't connect with it. And then the Lord confirmed it with the story, the true account of the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5 and verse 30, where Jesus said that he felt in his body, she touched him with the touch of faith, and he felt in his body that dunamis was flowing out of him. And that morning I talked about that, and I talked about that power of God and that John G. Lake in the vision, the Portland vision,
mm-hmm.
He was told that we are to pray for that power.
Mm-hmm.
We are to pray for the manifestation of the power that happened in the book of Acts.
Oh, yes.
You remember when he had that angel vision? I'm just mm-hmm. catching up a little bit for some of you. But I'm telling you that this happened at the minister's conference, that he wanted his power manifested. He wants his glory manifested. And 2010 is the time. Now is the time, in fact. And Shelley, you and I went to Portland, and we went over to Mount Tabor Park, where Brother John G. Lake lived across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of the night, he walked praying over to the park. He saw an angel. He saw a light. He didn't know it was an angel. The angel approached him, and he had a prayer. And the prayer, the angel said, "I have come to answer your prayer." And the prayer basically was, "We started out this Pentecostal movement with great power. I've seen power in South Africa. I've seen power in Seattle. I've seen power in Portland. But what's happened?" And so the angel answered the prayer. And here's the answer. "Human selfishness and human pride have consumed and dissipated the very glory and heavenly power that God once gave from heaven to this movement as you have beheld tonight." And during all this time, I had carried my Bible in my hand. Reaching for the Bible, he opened to the book of Acts, the angel, ran his finger down over the second page, that portion where the Spirit of God came down from heaven, proceeding through the book of Acts to its great outstanding revelations and phenomena, he said, "This is Pentecost as God gave it through the heart of Jesus. Strive for this, contend for this, teach the people to pray for this and this alone will meet the necessity of the human heart. And this alone will have the power to overcome the forces of darkness." When the angel was departing, he said, "Pray, pray, pray. Teach the people to pray. Prayer and prayer alone, much prayer, persistent prayer, is the door of entrance into the heart of God." And so I would say, as a recap to that whole ministers' meeting, God told us we're ministers of the gospel. He wants his resurrection power demonstrated to the world.
Yes.
He wants to give a witness to the world that Jesus is alive.
Yes, he is.
That's what the power is for. That's what it's all about. This John G. Lake book is a really good place for you to find out about how the power was manifested in his life. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 to find out about how to get it. This is Billy Brim and Shelley saying, Shalom, Shalom.